Blog. Welcome to Right Now. I'm your host, Stacey Chadwell, coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Joining me tonight is Michael Bungay Stainer, who is the founder and senior partner of Box of Crayons. Michael was the 2006 Canadian Coach of the Year. He is a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford University and holds a Master's of Philosophy from Oxford and Law and Arts degrees with the highest honors in the Australian National University. He created Get Unstuck and Get Going on the Stuff That Matters, a multi-award-winning coaching program and tool that's being used in organizations around the world. Leading the management thinker, Peter Block, says it has a quiet political message in it that coaching is available to all of us and is not a profession but a way of being with each other. He created the 8 Irresistible Principles of Fun, the 5 and 3/4 Questions You've Been Avoiding, the Great Work movie, and The Alchemy of Great Work, short internet movies that have been seen by well over a million people in at least 175 countries around the world. They can all be viewed anytime for free at www.boxofcrayonsmovies.com or on YouTube. Michael's latest book is Do More Great Work, a revised and expanded version of Find Your Great Work. Michael is a popular speaker at business and coaching conferences. Recently, he spoke at the SHRM, the OD Network, and the International Coaching Federation conferences. Prior to founding Box of Crayons, Michael had senior positions at corporate, a consultancy, and in agencies around agency worlds in the UK, the United States, and Canada. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Michael. It's a pleasure to have you.
It's really nice to be here, Stacey, and I'm sorry my bio makes me sound so boring, but I'm actually an interesting person above and beyond all of that stuff, I promise.
Well, I think you are. So what inspires you to write?
Oh, that's a really big, good question. What inspires me to write? Well, part of it's just that sort of I've been a bit of a writer all my life. I remember as a 6-year-old going to early school in Australia and asking one of my teachers if I could continue to write my story through the break that the kids were going out to play on, because it was such a good story. It was something to do with, I suspect I'd just read some sort of book about pirates or buccaneers or something. It was a kind of direct rip-off of one of those stories, no doubt. So I've always been a bit of a writer. And, part of, I think, for many of us, one of the things you're looking to in this world is how do I show up and how do I be authentic in the way that I show up to the world? And part of that is trying to figure out, well, what's the best way of expressing my voice? Because you know the people in whose blogs you read or whose speeches you look to who have a really distinctive, cool, authentic voice and how attractive and powerful that is. So I think for many of us, we ask that question, what's the best way for us to show up? And one of the ways that's good for me to show up is writing, because I'm pretty good at kind of being myself in the way that I write.
I see. So how does your writing inspire others?
That is another good question. And the answer is, I hope it does. I don't know. It's a hard one for me to answer because I think, some people like it, some people don't like it, some people get inspired by it, some people may not. The fundamental messages I write about are the same ones that have been written about for, a gazillion years, which is like, well, who are you? And how are you showing up on this planet? And what sort of life are you living? And is there better choices you can be making? So it's the same big questions that we all wrestle with. I just bring to it, I put old wine in new bottles. And some people like my writing because of I love metaphors. So, maybe it's the metaphor I've used is a powerful one for them. Sometimes it's a way of creating clarity from complexity, and that can be powerful for people as well. But in the end, people have to decide for themselves whether what I offer the world is useful for them or not.
Well, how do you define writing success?
How do I define writing success?
Mm-hmm.
I don't define it by selling a gazillion copies of my book and becoming a trillionaire, because then I would have surely failed. But I think, I mean, there's a number of metrics you could probably think about. One is, do I feel like I've written a good piece? You know, am I proud of it? Do I feel like I've captured something? And secondly, does it move people to action and to do something differently in their lives? Because one of the things that I'm keen for is people to make better, different, bolder choices in their life. And so if I'm writing and it's entertaining and only entertaining, that's okay. But what I'd really love is people to go, you know what, this is what I'm going to now do as a result of having read this.
That's right. That's great. So what is your most powerful writing moment?
Well, you know, I think of the secret of writing is less about a powerful moment and more about do you keep showing up and do you keep writing? I mean, lots of people have written about this. Stephen Pressfield probably most famously in his The War of Art. But truly, it's like the secret to do good writing is to do a whole lot of bad writing. And you look at people like Seth Godin or Chris Brogan or Jonathan Fields or any of the writers that you might admire online or offline, and one of the things that's true about all of them is they write a lot. And it's less about waiting for the muse to visit and whisper sweet nothings in your ear, and it's more about showing up. And the more you show up and the more you write, the luckier you get.
Well, that's a good advice. So what are three most important personal tips that you could share for achievement and fulfillment through writing?
I think they'd be, probably I'm going to repeat myself, but it would probably be, well, write and keep writing. That leads to, and I think the second tip, that leads to keep finding and refining your own voice, because there's a lot of people who write it and that I read, and I kind of go, you kind of said nothing new, and you haven't said it in a way that's anything but old and familiar. So finding your own style, your own voice, I think is important. And the third is probably around continue to explore the edges about what's possible, you know, experiment. Because it's only by bumping into the boundaries of what's possible do you kind of come back to the center about what's true for you.
All those are very good. Those are very good, especially finding your authentic voice, I think. And then
Right. The
biggest thing is that people are out there talking, you know, when they're speaking or the right something, it attracts different people. So I like how you said, you know, explore other voices as well here.
Cool.
So tell me how these three things work for you.
I mean, some of which we've already covered in the sense that I try and write regularly. And I have a sense of my style and, for instance, my sense of humor. You know, there's many, 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 many people who think my sense of humor is, in fact, more a lack of sense of humor. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with being a bit provocative, a bit cheeky, a bit, sometimes a little bit too crass or kind of gauche or something. That's a little bit my style. And so I'm fine with that. I'm not trying to make everybody happy. I'm trying to find a good way of expressing who I am and how I want to show up in this world. And by writing a lot and writing badly and exploring different ways of trying things out, that's me hitting the boundaries of my own level of competence and my own level of what works and what doesn't work. And with any luck, I learn from that. I can't guarantee it, but I think I do.
I think you do. I have a couple of your books. So what are your favorite writing tools?
Well, when I'm feeling stuck, I will grab pen and paper and I'll head out and I'll sit somewhere that I don't normally sit. Like I've just written a blog post for Zen Habits. Leo Babauta's fantastic blog. And I was like, I couldn't get my head around it in my office. So I grabbed pen and paper went to a bar nearby, had a Guinness, and sat and scribbled stuff down. And what I find is a pen and paper allows me a degree of freedom and non-stoppingness that's very useful. When you're typing, it's so easy to go, oh, just rewrite that or delete that and rework it. And you can get stuck in a bit of a iterative loop of polishing and polishing and polishing. Whereas I think there's something valuable about writing fast and writing flat out, because what you're often doing is you're starting to see the shape of the whole. And once you, for me anyway, once you see the shape of the whole, then it becomes much easier to write the parts of the whole. Is that making any sense at all, or is that all kind of a woo-woo abstract garbage?
So yeah. Tell me, what are your current projects?
Well, the big one that's happening right now is a new book that shows up to the world on September the 7th. And the book is it's got an unusual title, because the title describes what it does rather than what's in it. The title of the book is End Malaria. And people might be listening to this going, well, that doesn't sound very interesting, Michael. But here's what's cool about it. It has 60 or so really great authors writing about their approach to and their tactics and their best strategies of how to do great work. So if great work is the work that matters, that has meaning for you, that really makes a difference in this world, these are people like Chris Guillebeau and Daniel Laporte and Chris Brogan and Seth Godin and Tom Peters and David Allen and Brené Brown and Sally Hogshead, all kind of smart, sassy people sharing their best tips on how to do stuff differently. And we bundled all this together. And this is where the real magic is. The book sells for $25, and $20 from every book sale goes directly to Malaria No More. And $20 basically buys a mosquito net and also contributes to other life-saving work that Malaria No More does in Africa.
That's amazing. That's
it is amazing.
You don't usually see organizations receiving that much from, you know, any kind of nonprofit, usually a small amount. So it sounds like 95% of it's going there. 97.
Yeah, it depends on how it all sells out, but it's basically the Kindle will sell for $20, and 100% of that money will go to Malaria No More, and 80% of a hard copy book will go to Malaria No More. And it's only possible because it's being published by Seth Godin's kind of new imprint called the Domino Project, and they're doing publishing in a different way, in that their books are only sold through Amazon. And what that means is there's limitations. In other words, you can only buy through Amazon, but it does mean that all the money stuff gets uncomplicated, and it means that we're able to give so much more of the money directly to the charity. Whereas if I'd been going through a regular publisher and say I'd given the charity all of my share of the money I would earn from a book, that's, you know, at most about 10%. So, you know, the difference between 10% and 80% or 100% is pretty significant. So Seth's new business model with this publishing company and his generosity and Amazon's generosity and the 62 contributors' generosity all allows us to come together.
So what compelled you to start the End of Malaria Day project?
Well, about a year and a half ago, shortly after Do More Great Work had come out and was doing pretty well, I was sitting there going, you know, in Do More Great Work, I suggest to people that one of the more powerful ways that they can do more great work is to define a great work project. So they actually articulate a specific thing to work on that will be their great work. I was like, okay, so in my attempt not to be too much of a hypocrite, what's my great work? How am I going to show up in this world? And I basically sat down and kind of looked at what assets I had. And what assets I had were I knew some people because I'd been doing interviews like this, so I got some loose connections. I had experience writing a book, and I had what a friend of mine calls a messiah complex. In other words, I'm keen to try and save the world and make it a better place. And kind of putting all that together and shaking it up and adding other bits of inspiration from here and there, this idea of a project came into view. And it went through three or four different iterations before it got to where we are now, but it basically happened like that.
Wow. So, okay, so you got Seth Godin involved. How did that happen?
Well, it speaks to the value of what scientists and other and social media experts call weak links. So, you know, Seth is a big name in the blogging marketing world. You know, he's pretty much one of the most influential bloggers there is. Mm-hmm. And I have no doubt he gets pitched ideas on a daily, endless basis. But for the last 5 or 6 years, I have been kind of slowly building a relationship with him. You know, I've pinged him bits and pieces of stuff I thought he would find interesting. I've commented on his blog posts. I've engaged with him. And what that means is that when I went and pitched him this idea, he had a sense of who I was. And that allowed us to get the kind of green light to go ahead with this project. Whereas if I'd been a complete unknown, it's unlikely he would have taken that risk. So, you know, part of what people who are listening to this can be thinking about is, you know, in a non-transactional way, what are some of the interesting relationships you can be thinking about building and growing and deepening? Because I think that's where some wonderful stuff can happen. And it's important and probably difficult to do in our kind of hyper-connected world where we can be on Twitter or LinkedIn or Google Plus or email lists and all that sort of stuff. We've got stuff coming at us all the time. Well, the advantage there is that the opportunity for building real relationships, for showing up again with your authentic voice, I think can still be very powerful.
Oh, I agree. That's definitely speaking to the power of social media these days. I mean, it's really changed our entire world. Because now you do get to read Seth's stuff. You do get to can connect and comment on things that he says, and people can connect with you too the same way that you wouldn't necessarily know because you're in Canada, and you know, right. So you're located. I'm sure your clients or the people that you work with a lot of the time are everywhere, global.
Yep, they are exactly. And so you know, I think we're all learning on what it means to manage relationships in a world where we're all, you know, we're over-connected, most of us.
Yeah, that's the truth. It's getting to be, like, over-connected now. So where can people learn more about you and your great work and the End Malaria Day project?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Well, for people interested in me, my main website is the best place to go. It's just actually undergoing a facelift as we speak, so I know what it looks like behind the scenes, but it looks pretty beautiful. It's called boxofcrayons.biz, B-I-Z, or B-I-Z, depending on where you're listening. Boxofcrayons.biz, B-I-Z, B-I-Z. And the End Malaria book, if you just type in End Malaria into Amazon after September the 7th, you will find the book. But you can also go to endmalariaday.com, and you'll see all the contributors, excerpts of all their essays, little tweet pieces. There's a bunch of cool stuff on that site as well. So that's endmalariaday.com, endmalariaday.com.
And there's a little video there too. Yeah.
There is a little video there. There'll probably be a new one by the time people listen to this interview because we're just getting a funky little book trailery thing done at the moment, which is awesome. There's the same guy who's animated some of our other movies, and he's just doing a brilliant job. So I'll be excited to get that up on the world soon as well.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Well, Michael, thank you so much for being on our show. Michael Bungay-Stainer.
A total pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for joining us on Right Now. I'm Stacey Chabot. Have an excellent week.